Hello, and welcome to the Natural Rhythms podcast, A Culture of Well-Being. On today's podcast, the discussion will be about Ayurvedic doshas. This is the second podcast in the series on the basic Ayurvedic principles. The first on the Ayurvedic elements is the first one you should be listening to. And then return to this episode for a continuation on discussing how the universe becomes a physical phenomenon that is experienced by the individual. If you are familiar with Ayurvedic medicine, you have come across the idea of an Ayurvedic constitution. The Ayurvedic constitution is always discussed in the terms of the Ayurvedic doshas, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. These Ayurvedic doshas can be very confusing to consider. And without a clinical background or understanding of the physiological impacts of these doshas, they can be simply interpreted as fixed occurrences in our body. However, the doshas are very dynamic and they affect the dynamism of our physiology. They affect the balance and imbalance of our physiology and therefore can cause optimal health or disease. The elements of the universe that are discussed in the last episode combine to form the three doshas that govern the structure and function of the body. The space and air element combine to form the vata. Fire and water element combine to form the pitta. Water and earth element combine to form the kapha. To understand the physiological activities and implications of the doshas, it is difficult without understanding the elements that are underlying this dosha. So, let us discuss the doshas individually in terms of the elements that form them. Let us first talk about the Vata dosha. Air is the active and space is the passive aspect of the Vata dosha. Therefore, the most observable attributes of the Vata dosha are similar to the characteristics of the air element. Like air, Vata dosha causes movements in the body, including all of the nerve activity, muscle movements, opening and closing of cellular gates to let chemicals and nutrition in and out, movements of bowels, blood, thoughts, and even our attention. Considering this, the Vata is described as in charge of the nervous system, the circulatory system, the digestive system, and more. In terms of mental function, the Vata imparts the power of imagination, that is the ability to be creative, think beyond boundaries, abstract thought and vision. Among the emotions, Vata predominant in the states of fear. Because it is the only dosha with the quality of movement, Vata also causes the movement and circulation of Pitta and Kapha doshas throughout the body. In other words, it plays a big role in regulating the metabolic system, the lymphatic system, the musculoskeletal system, the hormonal system, and more. Vata, therefore, can be described as the king of the doshas. Disorders of Vata dosha, because of its central function, the number of disorders associated with the Vata are the greatest in number. Disorders that are Vata predominant will often involve the primary location of the Vata, like the nervous system, the digestive system, etc. Secondary involvement of Vata dosha can be observed in any system of the body. We will discuss in details the Vata dosha and its phenomenon when we get deeper into constitutional discussions. Pitta dosha is the next one we will discuss. Fire is the active and water is the passive aspect of Pitta dosha. Often when I explain it to my clients, I tell them Pitta dosha is primarily fire and the water aspect of it is more related to the flowing quality of the fire. Just like the fire spreads and covers the areas where it's spreading, Pitta or fire can also spread and cover the areas that is spreading. But unlike water, fire is all-consuming, and that is evident with the Pitta dosha. The most observable aspect of the Pitta being the fire element, fire and Pitta are hot, sharp, penetrating, illuminating, and all-consuming. For example, the Pitta dosha supports all metabolic activities of digestion. That includes the gross digestion, that involving the stomach acid and digestive enzymes, etc., the liver metabolism of nutrition and processing of toxins, cellular metabolism of nutrition, cellular repair, and cellular detoxification, inflammatory and repair activities of the immune system, and much more are also governed by the Pitta dosha. In terms of the mental function, Pitta imparts intelligence, that is, the ability to carry out the processes of thinking, processing information, decision-making, execution, and more. With regards to emotions, Pitta is predominant in the states of anger. Disorders involving the Pitta dosha. In a Pitta predominant disorder, primarily we will see the aggravation of the fire element at one or more primary locations of the Pitta. This might involve the liver or wherever inflammation is able to spread in the body. Pitta deficiency can also cause aggravations. These aggravations will manifest as excess dampness in the system, or in other words, aggravation of the kapha dosha, aggravation involving excess of ama, which is undigested, unprocessed toxins in the body. A simplistic way of thinking about it is when our metabolism is compromised, the process of building tissues and proteins and other structural components and functional components of the cells is also compromised. These unfinished structural and functional components become accumulated because they have no place to go. The accumulations congest the subtle channels in the cellular environment, and too much accumulation can also congest the gross or larger channels in the body. Accumulation like this blocks normal function and can result in ama-related diseases. A presentation of such an aggravation can show up as congestive blockages of the upper respiratory tract, certain forms of indigestion causing qualities of heaviness, dampness, blockage in the digestive system, undigested toxins or ama buildup in the digestive tract causing bloating and discomfort and constipation and more issues like that, blockage and inefficient function of the liver, as well as low energy, fatigue, and heaviness and lethargy associated with ama buildup at a cellular level. The Kapha dosha is the third and final dosha we will discuss. Kapha is made from the water and earth elements. Depending on the item, one or the other element might predominate the structure and function of that item. For example, the plasma in our blood is primarily watery in nature, whereas the protein albumin that maintains the oncotic pressure and flow in and out of the blood is primarily soluble earthy component. Bones are mostly earthy in nature, and a distinct lack of water causes them to be hard. Muscles, joint capsules, vertebral discs have relatively even proportions of water and earth element. The proportionality is the key to the integrity, structure, and function of all of these kapha tissues. For example, too little water in the bones can make them too dry and brittle, thus being easy to break. Too much mineral or earth in the discs and joints causes them to become arthritic. So when we discuss and consider the kapha dosha, we're always looking at, are the water and earth in the appropriate proportions for the tissue we're considering? When we discuss kapha dosha in terms of the overall balance of the individual, we look at the qualities of water and earth, primarily dampness, density, softness, heaviness, slowness, stability, or stuckness, and consider if the qualities of these doshas are in balance or in excess, to decide if there is a disturbance and a disease phenomenon occurring. Disorders of kapha dosha. Kapha is generally the most resilient dosha against disorders. For this reason, kapha predominant conditions are the least in number. Disorders of kapha often arise by kapha being acted on by another dosha. For example, too much pitta or inflammation can cause a degeneration of structures like cells, joints, muscles, etc., depreciating the kapha in them. Too little pitta can cause accumulation of water and earth, causing blockages in liver, channels, both subtle and gross, and also block channels of elimination. Too much vata can cause channels to become dry and contracted, also resulting in blockages, congestion, brittleness, and degeneration, depending on the tissue that is involved in the aggravation. When the kapha dosha is involved, awareness of the mechanism of the disorder involving the other doshas is as important as the location of the disorders in considering how the doshas are working on this kapha tissue in the particular location. Thus, balance must be not only brought generally, but at the specific tissue level, dealing with the specific dosha that is acting on and with kapha to cause the disease. In conclusion of this podcast, I'd like to invite you to consider the doshas in perspective of the underlying elemental phenomenon that causes the doshas to appear. For example, with vata dosha, also look at the qualities that represent the air element. Are those qualities appearing in balance, aggravated, or deficient? In terms of pitta, consider the qualities of fire element. Are these qualities appearing in excess, balance, or deficiency? And lastly, in terms of kapha dosha, considering the qualities of the water and earth element and their excess, deficiency, or balance. My hope is that this begins to help you recognize just the vata, pitta, and kapha doshas, not being attached to any particular idea of constitution being vata, pitta, or kapha dominant, but rather looking at the whole system as a dynamic dance between the three doshas. Looking at the body in this way and starting to understand this dynamic balance and dance within the body, understanding it through the perspective of the elemental qualities, will become a foundation of understanding the evolution of the body from health to disease and from disease towards health. That is the key to considering how Ayurvedic healing might proceed in a person who is experiencing disease. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this discussion supportive and enriching. I will include in our show notes the qualities of the five elements so that you can look at them and then listen to the podcast or re-listen to the podcast in order to relate those qualities with the different doshas. You may also consider doing an experiment to carry those qualities with you. Consider the element you're witnessing in terms of the quality of your own experience or the quality of things around you or people around you. Once you have pinpointed the element that you're experiencing, consider if the particular dosha associated with that element is in excess, deficient, or in balance. I hope you find that to be a fun experiment to familiarize yourself with the Ayurvedic way of seeing the world and supporting yourself to recognize yourself as a dynamic, flowing individual.